After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
We buzzing? Are we live?
Yes.
Dang. Wow, technology is beautiful. It's like one of those awkward video conference calls.
Do that.
Of Insecure. I feel like it's been about 2 years now since we've had any sign of Insecure. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV presents Insecure Season 4, Episode 1. I'm feeling myself, and I'm feeling myself. My name is McCall Hall, and I have a plethora of virtual guests that I'd like to introduce. So I'll let Mr. Kenneth Ware, introduce himself and his social media. Ken, take it away.
Yo, what's up, Insecure fans? I am Kenneth Ware, and I'm out here living in L.A. like Issa D, so I'm a kind of L.A. expert now for 5 years.
Hey, I'm your girl, Carla Renata. I am the Curvy Critic over at Black Hollywood Live. I'm honored to join the panel today to talk about all things Insecure, Issa, Molly, all of it.
Yes, all of it. Hi, I'm Mia. I'm so happy to be here as well. I love Insecure, love Issa Rae. I've been following her since her YouTube days when she was doing Awkward Black Girl, which was like the best internet series ever. So another season, this is good news for me. It was awesome to watch. Excited to be here.
We've been waiting long enough. So again, 4 seasons in, same old mess. So first, we have a few updates. I'm going to throw it to our resident Curvy Critic. For some news, some updates, what's been going on out there in the world of Insecure in cyberspace?
Well, the biggest thing that was going on is with the season 4 premiere, Issa Rae hosted a virtual block party, baby, to coincide with the block party that they had in the episode. They had DJ Zaytoven, I hope I pronounced his name right, and then they had a Twitter watch party, and then they had an after party. So they were partying to the break of dawn yesterday online. I was not mad at them.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Any highlights from the party, the after party, or the just first part of the party? Any highlights?
Not that I have gotten into, but I might get into it before we're done.
I got one.
Okay, go ahead. Work it out.
It's the fact that Issa is saving the planet. She's not using any paper cups or anything like that. She's drinking straight out the bottle.
So
my wine straight out the bottle today.
Okay.
Today.
That's Quarantine Chronicles.
Yep.
Okay.
That's how you do it.
So watching again, like I said, we have 4 people on our chat. Kenneth Ware will be handling all of our social media, all of our live chat. So if you have something to say, if you can't hear us, we're trying to work through this quarantine AF setting. Please let us know. And Ken's watching all of that. Kenneth, is there anything you want to share about what you're going to be doing with our social media?
Well, yes, definitely. I want to shout out Felicia. I want to shout out Tamika Francis and Nico. They've already joined me in the live chat and have left some feedback. So there's some things that people are saying, it's kind of going 50-50 with Condola and that whole relationship and how they will continue. But shout out to everybody that's joined us in the live chat, and we will definitely be, keeping that conversation rolling.
Yeah. And again, you guys work with us. This is our first episode. And again, we're all basically reporting live from our houses, so we're gonna get these tweaks figured out, get all the kinks figured out, but we are super excited. But now here's the part that I love. I like to kick it to some thought-provoking questions. So Mia, first of all, I want you just to kind of go down your segment and kick us off with these questions that will kind of get our juices flowing, and then we'll get into the episode as a whole.
Yes, sounds good. So wanted to title this Low Key, High Key, because it's the formatting of the titles this episode, which I love. And so it's 4 questions that I'll ask that are honoring the 4 seasons of Insecure, and they all deal with the episode. It's our take on kind of what's going on in this world, right? So the first question is dating a friend hot?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
A friend's ex, high-key disrespectful or low-key, kind of all right. Like, it's all right to do.
So to kind of give some context there, is dating a friend's ex low-key or high-key disrespectful? We find out last season, what was that, 2 years ago? Again, it's been so long. Condola, super awesome, has a crazy business acumen, is a blessing in disguise to Issa, but she's also in the dating market and hooks up with Lawrence, Issa's ex. So again, Issa and Lawrence were together for 5 years, five American years, and now it's to work with a woman who could have the next 5 years, and it could be 5 years of marital bliss, if you know what I'm saying. So again, low key or high key, who do I want to kick it to first? Our curvy critic, what are you thinking? Low key or high key disrespectful?
Okay, so I got a couple of schools of thought on that. There's an unspoken girl code that if you dated somebody, if you're dating somebody that one of your friends was kicking it with, you got to shut it down. Mm-hmm. But Condola didn't really know Issa. She didn't know her. And they're not like girls. They kind of just met through the process of business. So I'm kind of split on the situation. But if that was me, I would, after the block party, I'd be done.
Really?
So, yeah, I'd be done because it's going to get messy. Issa has proven that stuff gets messy. If they continue to be friends, it's going to get messy. Lawrence and Issa say they done. They say they cool. They say there's no residual feelings. But every time they're in a room together, the sparks are like, pew, 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 pew. They're going everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I would shut that down. I would shut it all the way down, door closed with a padlock on it.
Curveball to your question, to the question I posed to you. So you're saying you shut it down after the block party. What if the block party, because the episode, they are able to secure, what was it, 30 sponsors for the block party? Let's say 30 sponsors put up $5,000 a piece. I mean, that's a good chunk of money. What if the next year those sponsors come back and say, we'll each put up $50,000 a piece? That's a lot of money on the table, and you're going to walk away from a business partnership?
No. I'm not saying for her to walk away. I'm saying that they can be business partners, but they ain't got to hang, because they were on the verge of hanging out and being friends in addition to being business partners. Like, there was that fine line happening with them where they were about to cross over into friendship, and we could see it because Molly started to get a little jealous every time she would mention Condola's name, right? So I'm saying they can walk away from each other and keep it strictly business. Condola feels like she's a classy kind of chick, and that she would keep it classy and support her, regardless of what their personal circumstances are. At the end of the day, she's a businesswoman. She's about the business. She's about the dollar. She went and asked all these people to come to the block party. So, you know what I mean? And they were about to bounce and walk away when Issa saw them leaving and was like, let me fix this real quick. Condola respects that. Condola respects the fact that Issa had enough common sense to recognize that her business was about to walk right out that gate. So I think their business relationship will continue, but their friendship's going to be a wrap.
Gotcha. Thank you for clarifying. Thank you for clarifying. Mm-hmm. So Kenneth, the only guy in the chat, we all,
right?
Four seasons. We only ever have one guy on our panel.
Okay.
You officially Lawrence Hive. You have no choice. You have to be Lawrence Hive.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go.
A guy's perspective, right? So Condola mentions that, you know, Issa, you know, is her business partner, and her and Lawrence basically have this come to Jesus moment, like, you know, tell me what's up.
Right.
Question for you. They were together for 5 years. What did you think about all of the things that Lawrence disclosed / didn't disclose about the nature of their relationship? Did you feel like they should have gone more into that in this episode?
I just want to applaud Lawrence for not wanting to end that relationship with Condola and Issa, that business relationship. He definitely has a soft spot for Issa. They were together 5 years, And that's a very awkward space to be in with somebody that you're trying to start something with. And it's revealed that it's only been a month. Tiffany says that since the baby shower. So it's not really a lot of time. So, and Miko, shout out to Miko in the live chat, who says, Condola and Issa, they're working partners, business partners, and not friends. So when I look at that relationship, I agree that, okay, we did this mixer together, but now it's probably best to go our separate ways. However, that's probably not going to happen, won't be good TV. But I respect Lawrence for, he still has that soft place for Issa, and he wants to see her succeed and be successful. And he knows that Condola has what it takes to make her dreams come true. So I think Lawrence handled it as best as he could, being, because that was thrown at him. Like, whoa, I thought we were about to have this romantic evening, and you come with this breaking news. So I think Lauren handled it very respectfully as a man. So team Lawrence Alba over here.
Yes.
High key. If one of your boys was dating, what would be, what, from a guy's point of view, is that low key, high key disrespectful?
Since they're not friends, I would say that it's no disrespect at all, because nobody knows anything. So I would say it's no key.
No key. I like that. No key.
No.
All right, so Mia, I'm going to let you give your feedback on that, because you posed the question, but I want to hear, what is your answer?
Yes. So I will say, first thing, I really respect when Condola went over the first time and she talked to Lawrence about it. You could tell she was like, I gotta go. She's like, I don't know how I'm feeling. I need to like just reflect on this and see how I feel about it. So you can tell she's a good person. Like, she didn't come in like, of course I'm, you know, gonna stay with you and like not be cool with Lisa, you know? She was like, I need time to think about it, which I liked. And Lawrence was the same way, like Kenny said. So that was good. But I will just say, this question in general, it's all about choice, right? Like, if you're gonna choose to be with a friend's ex, then you probably have to break off the friendship. Like, there's no friendship element anymore. Or you can choose not to date that person. And of course, the situation is just complicated because no one knew going in. Issa didn't know, Condola didn't know. So it's no one's fault, but it's just all about now, like, what action are you gonna carry out from here? And I don't think they can have a friendship anymore. Like they said, a business relationship, maybe. But I think it's gonna be tough because friends talk about things, right? Like, you don't wanna hear what your girl's doing with your ex. So it's tough, it's tough.
All right, good deal. So let's take a little pause and get into the episode overall. So the episode starts out with Issa on the phone, basically telling somebody that she's done with Molly. She's low-key done with Molly. She doesn't F with Molly anymore. And then we fast forward. I really like what production's doing with this whole, okay, we're going to pose present day, and then we're going to go back in time and tell the story. I've been enjoying that quite a bit. What was your guys' first reaction to hearing that Issa's pretty much done with Molly?
It was pretty much that it was the same every season. they're getting to it, season one, season two. And I think it just shows that they're back and forth relationship, and a highlight of it. But I was surprised that they started with that. I mean, those were the very first words out of her mouth. And to come into season four with that, you know that there's going to be a big strain on their relationship. And it pretty much set the tone and the buildup for what will happen in their relationship with all of the speed bumps that they continue to have as really good girlfriends. So I think a lot with Molly's toxic behavior with men and those traits will be kind of spotlighted with her relationship with Issa.
I felt like I was proud that Issa shut it down with Molly, because Molly seems to be one of those friends that I felt like she could only be supportive of Issa if Issa was a mess. The minute Issa started to exhibit some signs of getting her act together, she started acting some kind of way. And why do you need an enemy when you got a friend like that? You know what I'm saying? Like, who wants that in a friend? That's toxic. And it goes back to what you were saying, Ken, about Molly's toxic behavior. If you're not doing anything that's going to enhance her and make her feel good, then she can't mess with you. And that's why we started out the episode with her going, I don't mess with Molly no more. And going back. I just, I'm really eager to see how this is all going to play out, because it seems like the relationship between the four women in general has been tested in all different types of ways. We saw last season how Tiffany and Kelly had some issues, and this season it seems like it's about to pop off with Molly. Well, Molly and Issa always got issues, but it's going to be on a whole new level this time.
There's an old saying where people want you to do good until you're doing better than them, right?
Boom.
And I don't know if whoever wants to chime in here, you know, Mia, I'll let you go ahead and start off. But do you guys believe that Molly secretly is probably a little bit jealous that Issa's taking a risk? She's taking a big risk, and it's actually kind of paying off, even though she's not a millionaire by any means, but she's getting traction by taking a risk. Do you think that Molly is resentful about that? And Mia, I'll let you chime in first.
I think a little bit. I think she is a little bit, but I think more of Molly's issue is kind of like what Carla and Ken were saying, is she's toxic. And I think she projects all that toxicity onto Issa. So I don't know quite if it's jealousy. And I know girls just naturally have that thing sometimes when you're friends, whether you're frenemies, whatever. But I think it's more of like a problem just with Molly. Like, she's got a lot going on. She's got to figure out how to get in touch with her emotions, how to be emotionally intelligent, be emotionally available to herself, to others, because it's not a good look. And at the end of the episode, I was just getting really mad. I was like, come on, Molly, like, don't do that. She's a mess, but, you know, it's just, I don't know. Don't project that.
We were able
everybody
see the recurrence and Asian Bay. Is that what they call them on Twitter? Asian Bay come back. He's back for season four. We were introduced to Asian Bay in season three, and Molly really wasn't paying him a whole lot of mind and attention. She wasn't all the way in on Asian Bay. We talk about toxicity. Molly just seems to have this like wall up with everybody, with Issa, with Asian Bay, and again, to our resident guy in the group. What did you feel about, and how did you feel about Asian Bay basically saying like, yeah, I see other people. Yeah, I'm dating other people. You know, what was your reaction to that when Molly and Asian Bay were having the conversation in the car about him dating other people?
I respected Asian Bay's honesty. I mean, I think Molly should have respected that as well and been honest with him that, you know what, this is making me feel a kind of way. Like, I want to go get a drink. Like, she wanted to go get a drink out of a wine bottle because she was dating him exclusively and was, you know, moving forward, and she was really liking him. Like, Issa mentioned it at the party, like, oh, you really like him. And it's like, it kind of hit her a little hard. But I mean, she should have been honest with him at that moment instead of kind of throwing him off to the side at the mixer and just her behavior. I mean, she just has so many toxic ways. And Miko said that from the live chat that misery loves company. And also Preach More Comedy said that Molly just doesn't know how to be happy. So a lot of people in the live chat definitely agree with what we're kind of saying on here about Molly's toxic behavior. But I don't think she handled that situation with Asian Bay well at all. And dating other people, he was honest about it. So now that he's honest about it, you be honest with him about how you feel.
Which we saw her do that. But is it too little, too late? Only time will tell. I'm excited to see that play out. Definitely excited to see that play out. So let's get back to the mixer. Actually, let's take one step back. And I'll let our resident Kirby critic chime in here. We had a lot of scenes in this episode. It opened up with Issa in the TSA bay getting it all the way. There was a lot of skin in this episode. Number one, where the TSA bay come from? I wish we could get some backstory on that. Scenes with flesh in this episode.
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm still laughing. Okay. I'm sure we'll get some background on TSA bay. He was killing me, though. But my favorite line in the whole episode is when he said, yeah, that missionary was working for you. And she said, it's always good to go to church or something along those lines. I hollered and laughed out loud. I did. Yeah. I hollered and laughed out loud because that was pure comedy. But what I feel like Issa has gotten to this place where she's becoming No offense, Kim, but she's becoming like a dude. Like, dudes can have sex with women and keep it moving. You know, women, we tend to get a little more attached. We tend to put a little bit more on it. So Issa's in this place where she's like, yo, I'm going to hit this. I'm going to get my groove on and go about my business. Because after they were done, he gave her his little TSA compensation gift. Yes. And she was on that laptop. He's like, I'll see you later. And she's like, yeah, okay, bye. And showed her with the laptop. I'm like, okay, I kind of love that. Well, you know what else I loved about this episode, in addition to the introduction to TSA Bay, which I can't wait to see more of him. His name is Reggie Conquest. I can't wait to see more of him. I love the fact that at the block party, I'm going to switch it back to the block party real quick. They had all these cameos happening. Like when Kelly said, with your Bill Murray look-alike self or something like that. And they did that slight zoom in to the guy. I'm like, was that Bill Murray for real? Or was that like somebody that was masquerade around LA looking like Bill Murray? Because it sure as hell looked like Bill Murray. And then we had Paula J. Parker. We had, they had introduced this new series. Every season, I feel like they introduce a new TV series that they happen to watch within the series.
Yeah.
And so this time it was Looking for LaToya, which
the Red Lobster biscuit killed me.
Looking for LaToya. And they had Terry J. Vaughn as like the correspondent. And they had Ray J as her boyfriend, and Portia from Dish Nation and the Housewife franchise as her good girlfriend. That gave me life. I was like, okay, for the cameos. And they kind of undercover cameos. Like a lot of other shows usually promote who is coming on to the show to get people to watch. Insecure at HBO doesn't have to do that. They just kind of slip them in and let people talk about it afterwards. Don't y'all think?
I love that. Yeah.
Definitely one of the secret sauces for Insecure is the way they blend in cameos. I definitely agree with that. So TSA Bay played security. First of all, I'm just going to put in my two cents real quick. I actually think the TSA Bay is a really good dude, and he really wants to be there for Issa. He may not have the means right now, but he's got a good heart. Anybody who will bring you stolen Hennessy has a good heart. So I'm really rooting for TSA Bay to stay around, at least comedic relief. But let's go back to the mixer, right? So we actually have an opportunity to see them at this mixer. They're trying to raise capital, raise sponsorship dollars, and we are reintroduced to Tiffany and Kelly. Mia, I'm going to let you kick it off with, you know, just number one, just reactions. This is our first, you know, episode out the gate for season four. We haven't seen these guys in a while. What did you think about the reemergence of Kelly and Tiffany, and any exciting points from there?
So as I said in the beginning, I love Kelly. She's my favorite character. She's so funny. Everything that comes out of her mouth is a hoot. She's a good time. When that girl, she was like, I'm going to go get nasty after this. She was like, how nasty? I was like, this is literal meme ground. She's so great. And you know, she's just, I feel like she's always there for Issa, which is good. Like, she shows up, she's helping out, even if she's hitting on, you know, the clients, whatever. Like, she's got a really good heart. And I actually, in previous seasons, I really didn't like Tiffany that much. I think she's so annoying, but I actually found her less annoying this season. I don't know what it is, so far at least. She's still herself, but I was like, you're not getting on my nerves as much, which is good.
Were you excited to see Kelly and Tiffany back on the scene? Because I didn't think we were going to see
Yeah, I was definitely excited to see Tiffany, especially because Tiffany returned, when the news was dropped that Lawrence and Condola were dating. But it was good to definitely see them on the scene together and just ready for Tiffany to pop and have that baby.
Huge.
But yeah, it was definitely good to see them. Yeah, she is huge, but she is still bringing the laughs. She is the shadiest and the most petty, and she is still bringing those laughs. And it's like every time she is in a scene, it's like you're just pleasantly surprised, and then you're overjoyous just because she says something that is hilarious. Like when they were talking over each other and she said that it was like, this is too much, I can't take it, it's like a telephone conference call. Like, she's hilarious. I love it. So it was good to see them back.
I wonder if they had, like, you know, a question or something that we would be in quarantine, because that line was fitting for what right now.
Yes.
Oh, that was hilarious. It really was. It was pure comedy.
I think this is a good time to segue to Mia's second question. So Mia prepared four questions for us. Mia, why don't you throw out your next question for us?
So the next question is, kind of hopping around here, but two is, Are self-care Sundays high-key overrated or low-key underrated? What do we think?
So background again, Issa and Molly start off this episode with a little bit of chronic ganja for the people out there from the islands, having a little bit of weed, a little bit of yoga, a little bit of self-care Sunday. So yes, absolutely. Our Kirby critic, what did you think about that?
I was all for the self-care Sunday. I'm like, ooh, that's a good idea. I might have to implement that during the shutdown time, honey. I definitely might look at McCall's like, I don't know. She's like, says the one with the bottle over to the side. Anywho.
Self-care every day, you know.
I love you for it. Turn up, girl, turn up. I ain't had no problem with that. I loved that they did that. This is the thing that I love about Insecure. Insecure shows Black people unapologetically Black. And they show us unapologetically Black being our best selves, our worst selves, and how we come together in love, how we come together in fights, how we come together in disagreements. But it shows the good, the bad, and the ugly. It really does. But it shows it with love and empathy all the time. And I love that a show like this exists so that people watching it know that every Black person ain't walking around a certain way. You feel me?
I feel you. I feel you. Ken, is there anything you want to add to that?
I would say more self-care. I would encourage that more, especially with men, especially with Black men. Like, we should encourage more self-care, whether it's like, she heated up those towels and she was coming in with those the warm towels and everything. I'm like, you know
yes.
What? You can say that $200 for that spa. And you can, I said, she did created the whole experience. And those are also those moments when I really like Molly's character, because we all know that Molly can afford to go to Beverly Hills and have that entire spa experience, but she's enjoying that with her friends. And I mean, I'm just so torn between those two. But definitely, I'm here for the self-care Sunday. Every day.
I agree. And you know, Issa and Molly are up and down, but I like those moments of them together. I loved that of them. It's just, even though moments before we were like, you know, being told that she doesn't like Molly anymore, I just love to see them together. They're so fun.
So. Now, Mia, you had one or two more questions, because I definitely want to make sure we get to your questions.
Sure. I can group them together. You can answer whatever you want if we can do that. So the crime show, I found that interesting and hilarious, like we mentioned. So crime shows like Looking for LaToya, high-key interesting or low-key bad? And then the last question is, friends who like to party nasty like Kelly, high-key ridiculous or low-key kind of cool, kind of funny?
I will go with that Looking for LaToya. Talk about the crime show, and it's high key. What were the two options?
High key, interesting or bad? Like, are crime shows like
okay.
that ridiculous? What do we think?
So I will say Looking for LaToya, high key, interesting. It when Terry Vaughn turned to the side like Gail King, I say, okay, now what is this? And then later on, you see Ray J acting a fool, being Ray J, and Portia giving this dramatic rendition of this crime mystery. So I love it. I'm here for it. Like, that is that's like a little nugget that comes with every series. You have this little nugget of a show that you can appreciate, and to see that these are the people that are a part of this is hilarious. So love it.
Our Kirby critic, what did you think?
Well, I'm kind of halfway between low-key bad and high-key interested on Looking for LaToya, because it starts out pretty good, you know, with Terry Vaughn looking into the camera like you said, King, Gail King. But then it get real funky when Ray J starts talking about how he hit it, but that he wouldn't kill her. I'm like, I'm gonna need you not to say that. And as far as the nasty party is concerned, that's just low-key bad. Like, don't do that. Don't do that at a block party where y'all trying to raise some money. What you doing?
Come on. Have a little fun. Have a little fun.
Hell to the no.
This is what I will say about Looking for LaToya. I really like the fact that it seems like every season we have this, like, you know, show or something that they're watching, and it's very small. It's not a big part of the storyline, but it's there, and it always ties into a current state of affairs, a current event. And, you know, I read a stat recently, there's 75,000 African-American girls in this country who are missing right now. And that's definitely a tie-in on the show. And I'm glad they brought some light to that in a comedic way. But if you're paying attention, you really see it. So that's really cool, too. But before we get out of here, I definitely want to get to predictions. It's definitely time for some predictions. Now, we've seen only one episode, but we have the good fortune of knowing there will be tension between Molly and between Issa. They're not effing with each other. So we've got some foreshadowing. So I will let Kenneth jump into predictions first. Kenneth, anything that you see popping up this season as we move forward?
I hope that we get more background with where is this tension now, coming from with Molly. TV predictions. Okay, with Molly and Issa, I see that that we'll probably have some more background with their story. Maybe there was an incident or something that happened back in the day, or just kind of seeing what is the root of that problem, or them just coming to head and really being honest with each other. I think right now they're kind of pussyfooting around the situation and haven't really had that direct conversation. And I also just see Condola, Issa, and Lawrence, this triangle they have going on is just going to be turned very ugly. So I hope that the block party will still be successful, but it's just going to be hard. It's just that 5-year relationship, and it's a lot going on right there.
Mia, what do you think? Prediction?
Yes, all the predictions. I think that we're not going to see some beef between Condola and Issa, but I do think that we're going to see some awkward tension. That's like the forte of the show, right? It's like awkward moments. So who knows? Maybe Issa will have more awkward nightmares of Lawrence and Condola getting it on. I thought that was so funny. Maybe we'll see more of that, or maybe there'll be an in-person run-in. I don't know. Have to find out.
Ken on wanting to see what was the exact incident that happened to bring Issa to that realization with Molly about not wanting to mess with Molly anymore. I also want to see some type of resolution to Kelly and Tiffany, because we never really saw a resolution with them. And even at the black party, even at the black block party, they were on the opposite sides of the room. We never saw them at a table together having a conversation. I want to see that. And I definitely want to see how it's going to play out with Condola, Lawrence, and Issa, because that just spells drama with a big old capital D. And Condola doesn't seem like the person that is part of a whole bunch of drama, because when it starts, she just kind of gets awkward and walks away. But, and so does Issa. So you can see why Lawrence is attracted to Condola, because she has some of the same qualities that Issa does. But I just want to see how it's all going to play out. I'm there for all of it.
So here's my prediction. I appreciate everybody chiming in. I have a couple of things that I just want to point out. Condola is enjoying a Lawrence that Issa, in my opinion, groomed for 5 years and took care of. He's the man that he is today because of Issa. And I believe that Condola is not only going to benefit from that, but she's going to get an 18-year guarantee, because I am predicting that Condola and Lawrence are going to have a baby before they even get married. The two Christians that met in church are going to mess around and have a baby this season.
Ooh, that's good. That's good.
So I feel like in the next like 2 to 3 episodes, you're going to have Tiffany's baby pop out, you know, little Dubois. We're going to have that. We're going to end the season with a new chocolate baby, and that will be a baby between Lawrence and Condola. So I am putting that out there now. Issa's going to have to
begin. Okay.
Real quick. But before we get out of here, I just want to once again thank everybody for joining us in this quarantined edition of AfterBuzz TV. And I'm going to let all of our co-hosts reintroduce themselves with your social media handle so we know where to find you guys between now and next week. So Kenneth, go ahead and kick it off.
Yeah, what's up? Thanks to everybody for joining us in the live chat. I just want to shout out really quick Trini Boy. Shout out to Krispy Kreme, Miko, Tamika Francis, Michael B, Brown Love. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We hope to see you next week, and let's chat about Insecure. I'm Kenneth Ware. You can find me on all digital platforms at Meet Kenneth Ware.
Hey, everybody. I'm your girl, Carla Renata, a.k.a. The Curvy Critic. I echo everything that Ken said. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for joining us in the middle of your afternoon for this after chat on the after show for Insecure HBO. You can find me across all social media platforms at The Curvy Critic, and you can find me on Sundays at Black Hollywood Live with The Curvy Critic with Carla Renata at 5:15. I'll see you there. Bye.
Amazing. Again, yes, thank you guys all for tuning in. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV, for having us. It's been so much fun. I'm Mia Brabham. You can find me on Twitter at Hot Mess Mia, because it's a hot mess over there. And then on Instagram at Yours Truly Mia.
And once again, my name is McCall Hall. You can find me on all social media platforms at McCall Hall of Fame. And make sure to follow AfterBuzz TV at AfterBuzz TV across all platforms. Now, again, between now and next week, hit us up. We want to continue the conversation. Bring you guys really good content week in and week out. See you guys next Monday. Take care.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.